Hello, hello everyone. Welcome back. If you're new to me, I'm Shu Allegra. And on this platform, in this moment, we are here talking about all things writing. I'm an author and a publisher, and I invite other friends who are also authors and to come share the stories about how they started in the writing industry, what led them there, and kind of, you know, learn about their story and how they got where they are, and we can gain some wisdom from there that we can apply on our own journeys as well. So today I have my new friend with me, Shante. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I know you get to talk a little bit about your life, but I know, you know, life is busy. You know, you're a busy woman. So thanks for making time for this. I really appreciate it. Yeah. So if you don't mind, we'll just jump right in. If you don't mind.
No problem. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. If you don't mind sharing a little bit about who you are, what you do, just introduce yourself to our audience.
Right. My name is Shante Plummer. I'm a newly published author. I am the mother of six children. Yes, my new book, 619, Emotion Behind Closed Doors. And I'm also the business owner of Moms Can Talk, which is a business where I help families with grief. So that's just a little bit about me. Motherhood keeps me pretty busy. Like, and now with the book published, I'm running around, I'm doing interviews, I'm doing podcasts. So yes, I am very busy.
Awesome. You're busy doing good things. That's what's up, right? And that's how it should be, you know, just not be for the sake of being busy, but right. Busy making a difference. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So how did you get into writing? Like, just how did you get to here? Like, yes, this is your first book, but I know it's not the last one.
Right, not at all.
So just, you know, take us on this journey. Like, how did you get, you know, started with writing? And yeah.
So as far as writing, I've always wrote things. Like, I've always journaled, and people have always told me, you have a way with words. So I've always did writing. I just never saw myself as a writer. Then God turned my life around 360. I mean, 360, and I had no choice but to write and tell the story. Back in 2018, I lost both my parents and I lost my 66-day-old daughter within a year. The following year, I was incarcerated for criminal homicide for my daughter. So it was at that moment when I said, okay, God, you want something from me. Something that's going on in my life is not up to what you want me to be. So it was at that point that I said, you know what? I got to stop and sit back and ask God, what do you want from me? And from that point on, it was like, I'll get you out of this. I just need you to tell this story. I need you to tell the people how amazing I am, how I still make miracles on this day, and how things I can change. I am the way maker, and I can change your lives, because the story that I have and the things that I go through, people look at me like, what? What happened? And you still standing and you're still smiling like, what? Yeah. So that's how I got down this writing path. That's how this book came about. My first book, it was like, okay, this is not my story. This is his story. And he just picked me to tell his story.
Oh, beautiful. I just love that he just picked me to tell his story. And like you said, people definitely, you know, wonder, like, how can you be standing and laughing? You're literally saying, I got incarcerated for homicide for my daughter, and you're smiling at saying it. Like, that does not add up, right? That does not add up. That can only be from the Lord, honestly. Wow. And I'm sure that people now have all these questions, right? And we'll get to that in a little bit about talking about the book, but in the writing process. So you find yourself, like you say, you know, you lose a parent, then you lose your daughter who was like 2.5 months.
She was
2 months old. Yeah.
She was 66 days.
Right. And yeah. And it wasn't from the story. I remember when you and I met, you were sharing, it wasn't a while later that even
it was.
Walk us through that day.
It was a year to the date of her funeral. I buried her November 8th, 2019, and they knocked on my door November 8th, 2019, and arrested me the very day that I was like grieving, the day that I buried my child, and they came knocking on the door.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
A whole year later.
Wow.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Not only the grief is there, like you say, like in those anniversaries are huge for, you know, when you're grieving. It's just, right. It becomes a reminder. And then for any parent to be accused of the death of their own child, and, you know, and it's up to you whether you want to share a little detail about that or not, because, you know, all of that is in the book. People can go read it there too.
Yeah.
And obviously you got out of there. You're here, you're telling the story, and you're not even there as long as people expected, because justice prevailed, right?
Justice prevailed. Not even as long as my family expected. Like I was incarcerated for 10 days. Out of this whole situation, I was incarcerated for 10 days, but I had no bail. And in Pennsylvania, criminal homicide, you have no bail. And normally people don't come home their case. They're usually inside of the jail. So even when I was in the courthouse, when I went to go plead not guilty, when I was in the courthouse, the judge never called my name. And at the end of it, he was like, okay, we're going to recess for today. And I said, wait a minute, what about me? And he was like, well, what's your name? And I said, my name is Shante Plummer. And he said, well, why are you here? I see you here since 8 o'clock. I see you sitting back there waiting.
Your friends brought me here.
Yes, they brought me here. Like, I'm here. And he was like, well, can somebody tell me who she is? So when they came, they were like, first of all, we did not know that you were out of jail. The inmates came in. You weren't with the inmates. We didn't know how you came home. The lawyers were looking at me like, I don't know how you're standing here in front of me in your regular clothes. You're not in the jumpsuit with the inmates, and you're standing in front of me. And all I told them was, but God. That's how I'm standing in front of you. That's just what I told the lawyers. I said, but God. And that lawyer was like, yes, because people do not stand in front. People do not come home off of criminal homicide. Like, and if they do have
not in 10 days, no.
Not in 10 days.
10 years, maybe. Yeah, not 10 days.
Right, with no bail. And my lawyer even told me, you know, if we do get a bail for you, your bail will be extremely high. She was like, so I'm going to tell you, you'll probably be fighting this case from jail. And when I went in front of that judge on November 19th, the judge told me, oh no, you can go, you're going home. And I left on R&R with no bail. I didn't have to hand over a dollar, a penny. I said, that is nothing but God. I mean, if after that, it was like, if I don't get on the right path with God, whatever happens to me after this, I deserve it all, because God was with me this entire time. And he still continues to bless me, and I still continue to smile, and I still continue to flourish, because he just shows me, like, it's me, it's God, and then it's God.
And sometimes it's those hard places that he gets us, turns us from, pulls us away from all the distractions, and then turns us into his scribes. Now, and from of us, you know, my story for me was a stroke. And for some people, you know, it is a jail cell. Some type of things that, you know, you like, how, why? It can't even explain, you know? And here you are. And, you know, here you are. You know, even there back then, but also here. So along the way, as you, you know, kind of getting this mandate, if you want, from God that you needed to write, right? And you start sharing the story, sharing his story. And, like, what helped you along that process, during that process?
During the process, writing really helped. Even to heal me, writing helped me. Because when I got to certain chapters, like when I wrote a chapter about my mom, and when I got to my daughter's chapter, because I tell my daughter's chapter from the time my daughter fell off the bed all the way to the time where we buried her. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that I had that many emotions still inside of me, because I still had 6 kids at home that I had to raise. I still had a family I had to keep together. So, and I lost my daughter 45 days after my mom. And then when my mom's year anniversary came up, I lost my dad 2 days before that. So, so it was like everything was so back to back. I had to keep my life going, that I never had the chance to actually pull away and grieve everything that was going on. So when I started writing, it took me longer than I expected, because you think if you're writing your story, it should be easy. You should be able to write it, because
until you start typing those words or writing,
Oh my goodness.
Every letter that comes out, a bigger emotion, a deeper one comes out with it.
And I did not know that. I was like, why? It was people putting out 4 or 5 books. And I'm like, here I go a year later, still trying to write this one book. But it was so helpful, because it got so many emotions out of me that I didn't even know that I kept inside. Like when I was writing about my mom, and I'm realizing I was really mad at those doctors, but I didn't, at the time, I didn't realize it because life still had to move. And I felt guilty about I wasn't able to save my child. I never had that. I never got to embrace that emotion because I still had to move on. But writing this really helped me. I mean, it really helped me get my emotions out and get through a lot of grief by writing my story. So just the whole process of the writing process helped me extremely.
Definitely, definitely. And you and I know this, that writing is very therapeutic, and there's definitely tons and tons and tons and tons of research that's proving that. Pulling people out of grief, out of trauma, out of deep depression, anxiety, writing is very therapeutic. And so thanks for, you know, shining a light on that. And like you said, the more you write, especially when you're writing those nonfiction stories, like you're sharing, writing your personal experiences, it takes you back to the moment, right? It takes you back to that memory. And then you have to, you know, deal with those unresolved, you know, issues, right? Those unfinished business that were left there. And for you, it was realizing, wow, I never actually processed the fact that I couldn't save my daughter. Yes. And here, you know, you as a mom, you know, I have three children. I can't even imagine, like, you know, you're grieving the fact that you couldn't save your daughter. And then a year later being arrested for the same, like, you know, like I wanted to save her, I couldn't, you know. And how many of us had kids who fell off bed? And, you know, I'm sorry that what happened with your daughter. And I can't even imagine the pain as a mom, right? For a mother. And some of us didn't get to that point where, you know, kids maybe are still here. And but just the thought of like, wow, something could happen so natural, so easily happen to my child, and I get blamed for it, and then go put to jail, become this, you know, quote unquote, you know, labeled criminal for something that I wish I could have prevented, that, you know, and then leave with the trauma of it all, right? But right. Here you are, you're turning that pain, God allowed you to give that pain purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and the grieving your mom. And then, you know, mom, like say a year later, 2 days, before the year mark, and then your dad passed. And it's like all this grief that just didn't seem to let go, right?
Yes, it kept coming and kept coming. Like, when will it all stop? And it was just like, oh my goodness. Like when they say your life can change in an instant, my whole life changed in an instant. I mean, it definitely changed in an instant, but I always say that I never allowed that situation to dictate my life. So I never allowed it to stop me from smiling. I never allowed it to keep me from going. It's my faith that I have. Like, I feel so proud that when people see me, they just say, you just light up the room. Like, you just have this smile. Like,
you got no idea where I came from.
Man, you have no idea. I have no reason not to smile. Like, every little things that I go through, I just be like, girl, you just got through the worst times of your life that people may not experience in their whole lifetime that you experienced in a year. So that is little. That is nothing. My daughter has said to me the other day, Mom, the world is out here trying to chase this Powerball. And we're out here trying to chase this Powerball, and everybody's trying to get this billions and billions of dollars. She said, but look at the stuff we went through. We already won the lottery on life. And when she said that, yes, we did. She said, look at what we went through. Look at what we've been through and where we're at now. We already won the lottery of life. I said, yes, and there's no bigger lottery than God. You can have billions of dollars, but I got God. And he got way more money than that. So
yeah, it's the bank that never goes dry. You provide some places you have no idea. It's like, how did we make it this month? I don't know. God did, right? By God.
I don't know, but I'm making it.
There you go. So through this process of grieving and writing and sharing the story, what have you learned about yourself?
I learned about myself, my strength.
Yeah,
I learned the strength that people see in me. I'm learning it my own self. I learned my worth. Mm-hmm. I learned how to say no. I learned how to set my boundaries.
Yes.
I've learned so much to just, like, I've tried to take care of Shantae. Mm-hmm. I told myself, because if you don't take care of Shantae, you're no good for your family. Mm-hmm. Like, you're no good. So you have to always set mm-hmm. aside and get to know your own self. So through this process, I really learned I am a very strong individual. But one thing I'm learning more to do is to talk about it and ask for help. Like, I used to be like, that's a weakness. But no, I've learned that is a strength.
Indeed.
Yes, when you can reach out and say, you know what, at this point, I need some help. that is showing the sign of your own strength, because you know, like, I'm at my wit's end and I can't do it anymore. So that's what I've learned. And I've learned to say no, because I was always that person that called Shantae, she'll do it. Shantae got it. Shantae. And now it's like, no, Shantae, that's not happening.
Shantae got time for Shantae right now, right? She got to do her so she can be there and do the things that God's called her to do. Prioritizing that time.
That's what I've learned. And I've learned that if it's not in my God purpose, because now I'm in my God purpose life, that if it's not in my God purpose, Shantae's not available to help you.
yes. And that's the, like, again, like we're sharing about how writing is therapeutic, but as when you allow writing to, you know, to be that therapeutic for you, it kind of shows you all these things. Like, I keep saying this, you know, interview after interview, I'm interviewing authors, like, for others who are listening to realize, like, writing is not just about writing. It's actually a whole personal development process journey that you go through. Right, like you discover more about yourself through the pain and the things that you've been through and the things you're writing, and you know, and just being able, like, in things like you said, setting boundaries, you know, saying no, knowing your worth, valuing yourself, and the self-esteem, confidence, all those personal things. Sometimes we don't realize that those of us who've been writing, like, wow, yeah, I'm not the same person. Like, I'm not the same person that when I wrote that first book to now when I'm writing, I don't know, book one, whatever number I am at now, right? It's like, I'm not the same.
I've grew
so much. And I know you're exactly saying the exact same thing. You're like, you grew so much also through just that process. Life keep happening, you keep writing and keep processing it.
And keep going, even through, I'm not even the same person from the first chapter to the last chapter. Because I do explain, because I say that I have a nickname, they call me Shant and Shantae. And I always say there's two different people that I am. I used to be the Shantae that was so passive and okay, I'll do whatever it is. And then there's Shant that's inside of me that's a little aggressive. I always call it my mom and dad, because my dad was so passive, but my mom was like, I'm not having it. So that's, I say that in the beginning of the chapter, I explained those two people, and I explained how I was so passive and always wanted to help people all the way back from high school till now. At the end of the chapter is, no, I'm taking back my life. Mm-hmm. So at the end of my chapter, when I say that I'm walking down my steps, I'm taking back my life, and God is knocking every bad thing that was in my life away. And now I'm taking back Shantae's life. Like, I'm going to live the life that God promised me. And I hold him to all his promises. You promised me to get me out of this, so do your thing. Like, you promised to make my life better, so I'm giving it all to you. So that's the beginning of the book to the end of the book. I know how I've strengthened through every single chapter, how I strengthened myself through every single obstacle that I went through.
Beautiful. Yes. And so others might be listening. They're like, oh my goodness, like, wow, that's a lot. And I'm going through this and that. I'm not even sure, you know, how to get this journey started. You know, maybe, yes, I want to write that story. I want to share what I'm going through. And maybe they're wondering just where to begin, right? Or maybe they're already started and they're like, I feel stuck. Every time I want to write, like, this emotion comes, I'm like, forget about it. This is too hard to put it away. So what words of encouragement would you give, you know, some new authors out there?
Don't give up. Please don't give up. I don't care if you just doodle a sentence every day. That sentence you doodle every day will turn into a chapter. Just don't give up on your dreams, and don't feel like, well, this story is out there before. Nobody's story is your story. Your story is your own story. You can have two people in the same situation that went through the same thing, that have their own eyes, and they went through it and have their own perspective that they're going to give to you. So whatever it is you do, don't stop. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how many nights you cry and like, oh, this is too much for me. If it's too much for you, put it down, put it to the side, but don't not pick it back up. Every single time you have a thought, every single time you have a different emotion that's going through you, write it down. And that's what I did. I just look at my book that I have that I just doodled in and scratched out and then finally put it together and was like, wow, like, this is really a story. Every day I look down at this book and be like, sis, you really wrote a book. Like, oh my goodness, like, you really did it. You talked about it. You did it. And set goals for yourself. Like, set your own goals. Don't let anybody else tell you, you need to have it done by this day. You need to have, no, set your own goals, do your own thing, and put God in everything. And when God is ready for it to be released, it will be released with no question. I released this book twice. Just so you know, I released this book on 6/19. June 19th, I released the book. I wanted it out there. I wanted it out there because 619, oh, let's put it out on 619. And I never asked God, is this the date that I'm supposed to release this book? Is this when I'm supposed to release it? So then when I released it and I was sitting there like, oh no, I'm missing the whole chapter. This is not how I wanted it to end. And it was just like God sitting there like, yeah, because you didn't talk to me and ask me, is this the day that you were supposed to release it? You just did it.
God is like, I'm the boss. Come back to the boss. Let's get this straight.
Everything won't be right. So I had to do a second edition. And when I released it on June 30th, so I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, y'all know this is not a new release. This book's been out for a whole month. And people are like, oh, it was? But it wasn't until God was in it. I'm going to release it when I was
perfect.
Yeah, so just take your time. Never stop writing. Whatever it is you're going through, if it's too much in that moment, put it down. But just always go back and pick it back up.
Yeah. Great advice there. Don't give up. And I often say, as authors, as writers, you write every day. Like if it's in the journal, it's in the email. It's like we all have our phones, right? So I write on the go as I go, pretty much. Like, you know, if it's an idea or thought that comes that I'll write it just, my note app on my phone. But I'm always working on some writing project. So like, and I keep all my stuff, on the cloud. So it's accessible wherever I go. So it's easy for me to just pull my phone and like, oh, I'll add this to here. I'll add that there. And if I don't have my phone with me, it's a little piece of, even sometimes we'll be eating and it's a napkin. I remember one time we were out eating with friends and I left my phone in the car. I had my kids with me. So I'm like, well, my kids are here. I don't need my phone. Like, right. Something happened to them, we're good. And I wanted to just focus on the time with our friends. So I left my phone in the car and we're sitting there eating. And like, I'm just getting this download. I'm like, give me that napkin. Does anybody have a napkin? I'm like, come on, Sue. I'm like, no, this is a download. I cannot miss this because I know when I leave the table, I walk to the car. I'm like, what was it I was thinking about? What was that? Right. You know, same thing. Yesterday, I was actually driving and this thought was just coming. And it's something that I don't even have to write. I do a monthly article for our church newsletter, and it's kind of a big deal. Like, we write like a whole booklet that goes out. But anyway, so I have a column in there and some months I'm writing like 1300 words for that column because there's just so much stuff. And so this one, it's not even due until pretty much a month from now, to go out. But like the ideas were coming as I'm driving. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to pull over.
Sometimes I send my daughter messages and I'll like send her a text or a voice message and she'll be like, Mom, what is this? She don't even ask me. She don't even ask me no more. She just be like, yeah, this must be a thought that she has.
She's just doing her thing, right? Yeah, and that's the moment where, like, exactly, I pull my phone, I start recording a voice note to myself, So I already had the title for the article. I really had what verse I'm going to use and, like, all these illustrations that I'm going to pull out in my writing. Like, I'm like, this is almost done. Like, that's, half of the work, more than half of the work. So, yeah, you never stop. And I think the more you write, the more you want to write, the more, because you realize not only you, like, I often say the things I write about, things that I need myself. So it's actually a ministry to me, to Shu. And then I know often sometimes surprised, like, oh, I didn't think anything of it. And people are like, I like your article that you wrote over there. And like people, I'm getting cards and stuff for people who read things that I've written, or people text me, call me, or email me. And I'm like, really? Sometimes I'm like, I don't even think that was that big of a deal, And then now, go ahead.
I had an interview 2 days ago. It's called a Black News Beat. And it's like you do an interview, we went to an interview, but they have like a live audience. Nice. So it was some Milton Hershey kids and they were from third grade to like 10th grade. And they were all boys. And I was like, this is not my audience, not them, right? So I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, I hope I keep their attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, the show was over and I'm just standing there and everybody's taking pictures. And when I turned around, it was like all 15 of them were standing there. And I was like, okay, hey, like, what's going on?
Hey, people, wait.
And they were like, come, do you have books? Can we purchase your books? And I'm like, okay. Wow. So my first instinct was, is this a book report or a project that you guys have to finish? And they laughed and they were like, no, we really want to know your story. Like, and their then mother, I guess they call it, the mother of the house came and she was like, no, they ran up to me after the show was over and was like, can we please go talk to her? Can we please see if she, can we get a book? And They asked me what this 619 mean. And I said, I can't tell you why I chose 619 until you read the book. And didn't this boy go over in the corner and read the rest of the chapters and came over and told me what the book was? I said, I'm going to have to send you something, a gift in the mail. I never thought, like, it's some things you think about, like, why would a seventh grader really even care about my story? But he said, when you read us and you told us and you pointed to us and told us to, like, never give up, you just gave me so much hope, like, for you to go through what you went through, Miss Shante, and you're just sitting here, and then you just tell us this. It was like, yeah, I gotta know her story, and I was just so intrigued, like, oh my goodness, these little boys really. I was so worried, like, I know they're gonna go to sleep with me. Like, why would they care about me? And it was so. That was the highlight of my day when they were all ran up on me, because I was like, what do you want? Like, I'm confused. Why and for them to just be like, because we just want to know more about you. And I was like, wow. So you never know how your story will help multiple people. You never know. And when writing, always give it your all. If you're going to write a book, don't half step. Like, give it your all. Get your emotions out so that the next person won't have to go through what you went through. And even if they have to go through what they want to, they have a guide. Like, you know what? Let me see, in that part of that book where she said, where she was angry or she was depressed, what did she do to get through it? And that's what helps me throughout the day. Like, if I could just help one person, I'm fine with that.
Yes. No, I hear you. Same way here. It's like, if it touches one life, then, you know, I've reached my goal, right? And and then you're surprised, one becomes 10, 10 becomes 100, 100 becomes 1,000.
Yep.
And then the story, you know, the rest is history. Yeah. And so you have a lot going on, obviously, you know, all these interviews you did 2 days ago and then with life, and then today we're doing this. So what is next for you?
I actually have another podcast I'm doing tomorrow.
Okay.
I've been on the move. So I have
that is beautiful.
Yes. And then I have a Thanksgiving drive coming up where my Moms Can Talk business will be just sponsoring a few families. Nice. That, you know, may need Thanksgiving dinner. So we're getting together a few boxes just to, you know, give out to the community, because I once was homeless and I once was a family that needed a box of food for Thanksgiving. So it's like, you know what, if at this time I can help and just give 5 families a box just so they can have that comfort food on Thanksgiving, I'm going to do it. Last year I had a homeless drive and I was so nervous, like, okay, this is my first time with my business, my first homeless drive. I did it with a church and we had it from like 8 to 1. And at about 11:30, the pastor came to me and was like, Shante, you think you can go live and tell the people we have to cut it off because we have so many donations, we don't have anywhere more room. And I was like, that's nothing but God. Here I was worried, like, is the city going to come out and help me? And then we just were an overflow of things to give to the homeless. So I just said, this year I'm going to give do the Thanksgiving drive. I'm going to hook up with Latoya. You know, Latoya, she sent me some information to get in a magazine. So I'm hook up with that lady so I can do a magazine. And I'm just trying to get the word out there and get my story out there just to help people. That's my biggest thing. Like, I just, like, if I can make somebody smile, that makes my day.
Yes.
And if anybody can say God, because that's if I can get somebody to say, like, how do you get through with God? Yes, God. And he can get you through any and everything. And that's my purpose. That's my purpose now. It's God.
Yeah. Well, thank you, friend. Thanks for all that you do. And so as people are listening, like, you want to get your story out, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a live interview, whether it's, you know, speaking engagement for, you know, conferences, retreats, how can people find you? And definitely, where can they find the book?
Yes, we can find the book at, you can go on Amazon or you can go directly to my website. My website is www.momscantalk.com, and that's Can with a K. Or you can look me up on Facebook. I'm under Shante Plummer, or Instagram. I am Moms Can Talk. And you can just reach out, send me a DM or go to my website, send me a message. And I will definitely get back to you. Order the book. If you order the book from Amazon, of course, it won't be signed. But if you go to my website and get the book, you will get a signed copy from me. So that's how.
Thank you so much. And we'll be sure to add the your contact info here in the description so people can access it easily.
Thank you for your encouragement. That's what I want to say. Thank you for your encouragement, because if it wasn't for you, I would have never put my books up at the table. I would have just had them in my bag. And that's what you said, girl, take the books out your bag and go put them on that table. Like, so thank you for encouraging me.
You can't have a light and hide it under the table, right? Right. You can't do that.
Yes, you got let it shine. That day. So thank you for that. So just thank you for just speaking to me and encouraging me to, girl, get up and get that book out of that bag. You did not work that hard to sit your book in the bag on the floor. Yep, you did not work. You didn't go through what you went through for your story to be in a bag on the floor, just waiting and being quiet. So thank you for that encouragement and even getting me to speak up. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just talk. I'm gonna just speak up because I can't be shy. Like, oh my goodness, they're gonna talk to me. But yeah, I just want to say
you did great. You did great at the event and you did great here. And I know you're doing great on all those platforms that you know you're being invited to speak. So definitely keep sharing that story. It's touching lives.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for everyone listening. Like Shente say, don't give up. Whether you're writing, whether you're going for a struggle, whether you've been accused for something you didn't do, you know, don't give up. Don't give up. There is hope. And for us, we found a hope in the Lord, Jesus Christ. So we're here if you want to talk more about that, about talk more about writing, talk more about your faith. And definitely if you're mom and you're grieving, connect with Shente. She got you. All right. Love you all. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.